Here's what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. Such a well-known verse. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
In this evening's broadcast, Pastor Brian Grant is starting a new series centered on studies in the book of Ephesians. This first message in the series recounts three specific spiritual blessings highlighted in the opening verses of Ephesians chapter 1 that stand as marks of identity that are true of every believer in Jesus Christ and underlie the believer's confidence in the God who has saved them. We hope that you will join us each Sunday evening and enjoy this series as Pastor Grant develops it. We're looking forward to a good and beneficial time in God's Word. Of course, you may watch the full video of the series as it develops on our church website at www.gcafamilychurch.org. Once again, www.gcafamilychurch.org. This evening's message is entitled, Something to Shout About. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with us to the first chapter of Ephesians and listen as Pastor Grant brings another message from God's Word. Here now is Pastor Grant.
It was the evening of February the 4th, 2018, and the Philadelphia Eagles were in the Super Bowl. The entire city was abuzz, even those who know nothing about football. Everybody was excited because the Eagles had never won a Super Bowl before. And here we were in the Super Bowl. Now, everyone knew this was not going to be a cakewalk because we were playing a tough team. We were up against the New England Patriots, and the Patriots had won the last three of the last five Super Bowls. 6:30, the showdown began. It turned out to be one of the most exciting Super Bowls in recent memory. But for Eagles fans, it was a very nerve-wracking game because the score kept going back and forth. But with 2 minutes 21 seconds to go, the Eagles went ahead 41-33. You know, we had a Super Bowl party for the church at our home. And I tell you, as you looked around the room, you could see the men smiling and the ladies smiling. Everybody was smiling. But no one was willing to call it victory yet because we know we were up against Tom Brady. Tom Brady, they say he is the greatest quarterback in NFL history. To Tom Brady, 2 minutes and 21 seconds is a lifetime. Tom Brady knows how to make magic. So every Eagles fan, and I see some of them looking at me now, they were all biting their fingernails at my home as they wondered, could we hold on? Suddenly something unexpected happened. Brandon Graham stripped the ball from one of the Patriots. The Eagles were in control of the ball. We still weren't shouting. But soon, time ran out. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the shouting began. And all I heard was E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. The Eagles had finally given us something to shout about. But I'm here to tell you that although the Eagles gave us something to shout about, I'm here to tell you this morning that God has given every believer in Jesus Christ something even greater to shout about. The passage we just read, it says that God has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. Man, something worth shouting. This morning we begin a brand new series on the book of Ephesians. And Ephesus, for those of you who know, Ephesus was a very pagan city. It was the center of worship to the goddess Diana, otherwise known as Artemis. And Diana was regarded as the most worshipped goddess at that time. This was big. This was so big that the temple of Diana was so incredibly spectacular that it was ranked as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Paul showed up in Ephesus for the second time. He had been there very briefly before. But in AD 52, the Apostle Paul went to Ephesus. And by the power of God, he stayed just over 2 years, and by God's mighty power working in this pagan city, this city that was given over to witchcraft, and in some of the weeks we'll be talking about some of what went on in Ephesus. But here's one of the amazing things. Despite the persecution, despite the opposition to the gospel, in just over 2 years, a powerful church was started. You see, I'm here to tell you on this Mission Sunday that, listen, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I'm here to tell you that not even the devil himself can stop God's church from advancing. So my friend, as a believer in Jesus Christ, it seems that God is challenging us more today about sharing this message. And I'm here to tell you that this message is powerful. The Apostle Paul says that this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every single human being that believes. Young person, share it. In your generation needs message. You say, oh, things are gone crazy. Yes, they're gone crazy. Listen, Paul was in a crazy city preaching a message that they thought was crazy, but a message that was charged by the power of God and the Spirit of God, and transformation happened in lives. But now in AD 63, Paul is now imprisoned in Rome. And while he's imprisoned in Rome in AD 62-63, the Spirit of God leads him to write a letter to the church in Ephesus. And so here we have the letter to the Ephesians. And one of the central themes in the book of Ephesians, it's all about the church. Because you see, God was going to use the Apostle Paul to articulate a mystery that had been hidden by God from all previous generations. You see, previous generations had no idea that God was actually going to set up, that Jesus was establishing the church of Jesus Christ. The Bible regards it, says it's a mystery that was hidden in God from all previous generations. You see, before you have the Jews and the Gentiles, but now God was bringing us all into one body called the church. You see, it always was in the mind of God to establish the church. Listen good. The church is very special to God. This is why the Bible calls the church, it's the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to feel very, very special today, because the church, those of us who are members of this church, we are part of an organism that is incredibly special to God. It's so special to God that God has endowed the church with certain blessings that he has never ever endowed anyone else in the history of mankind. And as we go through this series, we're going to be unfolding some of the blessings that God has blessed the church with. And so here we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Another time we'll talk about the issue of the heavenly places, but this morning I want to just focus on that, this aspect that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Listen good. God has given us everything we need for a successful satisfying Christian life. Write that down in your notes. God has given us everything we need for a successful, satisfying Christian life. You say, Pastor, I just feel like I'm drifting. I'm not really experiencing this successful, satisfying life. My friend, I want you to pay attention to this, because God is telling you that the reason you're not experiencing that life is not because He hasn't given you all you need. Sometimes our problem is that God has given us everything, but we're not appropriating everything He has given us. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, here's what He said. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. But whoever is willing to lose his life for my sake will find it. And part of the challenge we have as believers in Jesus Christ is that we're trying to save our lives. We're trying to live and achieve the American dream. We're not willing to lay our all on the altar of God. There is too much where we compare ourselves against ourselves, and we are satisfied that I'm doing okay. But my friend, God is asking you this morning, are you fully committed to the cause of Christ? Are you willing to die for Him? Have you given Him your all? And Jesus says, listen, if you're willing to lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Do you really want to start appreciating and appropriating all these blessings that God has given you? Turn your life over to Him in full. Oh, you may be saved this morning. But this message this morning is for everybody. He has a message for the unbeliever. He has a message for the believer. And would to God that this morning we might all hear what God has to say to us. It's very interesting that throughout this book of Ephesians, Paul has a lot to say about riches. Interestingly, Ephesus was a very rich city. In fact, Ephesus was so rich, it was regarded as the bank of Asia. This was where this was the Wall Street. Are you with me? This was the New York City of Asia. This was where the money flowed. Ephesus was the bank of Asia. And it's almost as if the Spirit of God is letting Paul write a letter to them to let them realize that all the material wealth they can achieve in Ephesus is nothing to be compared to the wealth and the riches we have in Jesus. Amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I wonder if you realize how rich you are. Do you realize how rich you are? Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, this year became the richest man in the world. His net worth was $105 billion. He could give, if he went to the stadium when the Eagles won, if he gave everybody that was there $1 million, it wouldn't even have scratched his bank account, to be very frank with you. That's less than the interest he makes on his money each year. If he gave everybody $1 million, that's less than just the interest the man makes on his money. That was chump change. He has that much money. But I want you to know this morning, I'd rather have Jesus. I would rather have the true wealth And I trust this morning, as we have come into God's house, we might recognize the privilege we have to be children of the Most High God, to be members of His church. I want to share with you from the text this morning three of God's special spiritual blessings. And the first one I want to bring to your attention is the fact that God chose each member of the church. God chose. Listen, if you are a Christian, if you are part of the church of Christ, you did not get here by chance. You were specially selected by God. Did you hear what I'm telling you? You were specially selected by God to be a part of the church. We call that the doctrine of election. We call it the doctrine of election. And here's the first. There are two aspects of the doctrine of election that I want to give you this morning as we try to break down some of these things. For some of you, it's a review. For some of you, it's brand new information. Listen, part number one. Salvation requires God's selection. I'm going to put on the screen for you Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 so we can all see it together as we read from the New Living Translation. And here's what it says in Ephesians 1 verse 4. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Doesn't that make you feel good? That's a wow verse, amen? Just imagine that. Before your mama came, before your mama and your father got together, God saw you. Before Adam arrived, before anything was made, God, looking through the eons of time, saw you being born. Listen, God knew the circumstances that you're going to be born in. Oh, some of us have been born in different circumstances. Not all of us have a great background. I've told you before, I have no idea who my father's parents were. I haven't even heard their name, the name of my grandfather. I have no idea what his name is. So you may have come from a strange sort of background, but listen, I want you to know that God saw you and God loved you. And those of us who know that we belong to Jesus, even back there, He chose you. He said, Pastor, He chose me because He knew what I was going to be like. He knew I was going to be this wonderful person. I was going to be so great. I was going to be such a good boy, a good man, a good... Could I tell you the truth? He knew what type of devil you were going to be. You see, God, somehow I run into Christians sometime and they feel like, oh, God chose me because He knew what I was going to be like. No, He didn't choose you because He knew what you're going to be like. He chose you as an act of sovereign grace. Oh, my brother, He knew what you were going to be like and He chose you anyhow. And I think that's shouting ground. But you know, I'm so thankful that there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Once we have come to Jesus, once He has saved our soul, there is no condemnation. Listen, we have eternal security. We cannot lose our salvation. No one can pluck us out of the hand of our blessed Lord. Hallelujah. And His hand, He said, my hand is in my Father's hand. Nobody, I cannot lose this salvation. Listen, my friend, I am as sure as I'm standing here this morning, I am that sure that one day I'm going to be in heaven. And it's not because I'm good. It's because Jesus is good. And because He has saved my wretched soul. And listen, if you're not sure you have that salvation, you can have it this morning. Listen, young person, you can leave here being sure that your sins are blotted out. But it's very interesting. The verse says that God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. You see, the idea that some Christians have, well, since I'm on my way to heaven, I can live like the devil. Think again. God don't play. Christian, it's good to hear this. God isn't playing games with us. There are many Christians who He has snatched out the game. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? You see, sometimes we live a fast and loose life. We do what we want to do, and we figure, since I'm on my way to heaven, he can't do me anything. But you know, sometimes he whips us, he disciplines us, because you know, just like a parent tries to get the child back on track by a spanking, sometimes God spanks us to try and bring us back on track. But do you know that sometimes Christian, I'm talking to Christians now, do you know that sometimes when you don't get straightened out after he spanks you a couple of times, do you know he just pulls you out of the game? You say, what do I mean? He takes you out of here. Do you know God will take you out of here? You read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And you read that God takes people out of here. God would rather take you out than leave you here to disgrace his name. You are a child of the king. You are a member of the royal family of heaven. How dare you feel you can do whatever you want to do? God says, no, you are my child, and I'd rather take you out. And listen, I believe there could be somebody here this morning whom God is speaking to. I spoke, gave a message just a few weeks ago that was entitled The Point of No Return. And it could be that there is a Christian here this morning who is at the point of no return, where God is giving you one last warning that it's time to turn. My friend, if that's you and God is giving you that warning, I'm encouraging you this morning that when we give the invitation, you get up from your seat, you have the courage to come, and you say to God, God, I've wandered far away from you, but God, I'm coming home. I hope you'll do that. So number one aspect, one of the aspects of this whole issue of election has to do with the fact that salvation requires God's selection. But secondly, I don't want you to miss this part, salvation requires a personal decision. Salvation requires a personal decision. Despite God's selection, no one is going to get to heaven without a personal decision. No one can get to heaven without a personal decision, because God will not drag anyone to heaven against their will. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 12, you need not turn to it. But in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 12, we read these words. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Don't ever forget that. The only people who have the right to become a child of God is to those who received him as their Savior. Let me ask you, young person, older one, have you received Christ? You know, there's a misunderstanding that's at work, and sometimes I even hear Christians with this. In fact, it pops up every now and then in our church, where individuals will come and they say, Pastor, isn't it true that since God chose some people for salvation, he chose some people to go to hell? My friend, let me tell you emphatically, election does not mean that God chose anyone to be lost. Amen? God does not choose anyone to be lost. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible tells us this. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you hear that? My friend, listen good, listen good. God is not willing that any should perish. God does not want you to die and go to hell. He's not willing. That's not God's plan. God wants to save everybody, but he will not save anyone who does not respond to the gospel. You see, God has given a bona fide offer to every person. Here's what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. Such a well-known verse. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't miss that. Jesus says, listen, God sent his son, and if we believe in his son, we will have everlasting life. But here's what it said, Whosoever, and that whosoever, my friend, includes you. It includes every human on the planet. Everyone has an opportunity to respond and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's an open invitation.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.